All right, we're going to continue looking at the Gospel of Luke. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. 9, 1 through 22. If you're able to rise, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and inspired Word of God. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. He replied, you give them something to eat. They answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketful of broken pieces that were left over. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, the one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you, he asked. What do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Thank you, Father, for these great words. As we draw our attention to them, Holy Spirit, would you open up our hearts, minds, and ears? Help us to see you, Jesus, through your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As many of you know, the past couple of years, I traveled a lot. And as I travel, and people who travel a lot know this, they start to learn, and I started to learn how to pack smart, how to pack light. And so no matter where I go, I have a travel bag, and in the travel bag, I have all the essentials, all the wires, all the cables that you need to charge your phone, your laptop, your iPad, your watch, and then an extra battery pack in case you can't find a plug. And then if you're traveling internationally, you need the universal adapter. We've traveled once without that, and that was a big pain. But for those of you who know me, you also know I have a bag within the bag. It's not the Bible. I know I should have said it. It's the Bible. The Bible's in there, but In my bag within the bag, I have my coffee kit. I'm an addict, so I have my grinder, I have a scale, I have a collapsible kettle that I take with me, because when Pastor Jay travels, he doesn't mess around. I traveled once without coffee kit to a remote village in China, and they told me, oh, the coffee here is not too bad. So in the morning, I was ready for coffee, and I said, where do you go for coffee around here? They all looked at me and said, KFC. So that was a week of KFC coffee is what I had, and then I invested in this. But anyways, imagine you travel all the time, so you know how to travel. Imagine if you were told to travel light, pack lightly. Then I would throw everything away and make sure I have this coffee kit. But imagine if someone says, I want you to travel with nothing. Trust me. I'll take care of you. You really need to trust that person to know that, okay, you're not going to go to KFC for coffee. Now, in today's text, we see Jesus sending his disciples out on a trip. And that's exactly what he tells them. Travel lightly. Leave everything behind. And so how and what was that all about? Because when Jesus says something and when he teaches something, there's a purpose behind that. And what did he want the apostles to learn? What did he want the disciples to learn as Jesus sent them out on a mission? Well, we're going to look at that. And we're going to see that when God sends you, there are only a few things you need. And it's not coffee. So let's take a look. Verse 1 says, Jesus had called the 12 together. And we're going to see that a lot, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And so Jesus calls them, and it says here, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons to cure diseases. Notice, Jesus gave what? Power and authority. I don't know about you, but if Jesus was going to give you anything, and he says, I'll give you power and authority, I would take that, right? So he says, I'm going to give you power and authority to do what? To do two things, to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. So I'm going to give you power and authority to take care of the spiritual needs of the people and to take care of the physical needs of the people. That's what he gave the 12. Notice the 12 did not earn this. It wasn't like they passed the Bible test and said, okay, here you go. I'm going to give you power and authority. Jesus decides to give power and authority to the 12. He's the one who gives. And he gives them power and authority. And it says, and he sent them out to do two things. What is that? To proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they have a mission. So Jesus gives them power and authority to do two things, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then if you look at verse 6, it says, so they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. So God sends and they go. That's beautiful. But there is something in between those two verses. And let's take a look at that, because that changes everything. What is that? Jesus tells them, take nothing for the journey. Take nothing. And then he identifies what that means. He says, no staff. Okay. Well, staff, I don't really need a staff when I'm traveling, but why would they need a staff? Well, staff was a symbol of authority. Staff was also used to help you walk. Staff was also used, if you're a shepherd, to protect your sheep. So staff was something that was very important when you're journeying. He says, don't take it. I don't want you to take a bag. Okay, so leave your backpack behind. You don't need to carry anything. No bread. Okay. You know, when I travel, I always carry protein bars just in case you're stuck at the airport. There's no contingency plan here. No plan B. You're only sticking with plan A. So no bread. No money. Imagine traveling with no money, no access to funds. Okay. No extra shirt. Oh, just yesterday, I was in the car and I spilled coffee all over me. And imagine if I had to be somewhere, I need an extra shirt, right? No extra shirt. That's it. Leave everything behind. Why would Jesus say this? Why would Jesus do this? That's an interesting thing that Jesus is asking them to do. Jesus is sending them out with nothing on purpose. Why? Because he wants to teach his disciples a lesson. And what is that lesson? That his authority and his power is enough. When Jesus sends you anywhere, whatever he gives you is enough. And that's the lesson Jesus wanted his disciples to know. And that's the lesson he wants us to know as well, church. He wants us to know that his power and authority is enough. Amen? Right? He wants us to know it's not about the building. I know we're praying for a building, but it's not about the building. So don't let what we don't have limit what God can do. I see us doing that all the time. Oh, we can't do that. We don't have money. Oh, we can't do that. We don't have enough people. Oh, we can't do that. We don't have enough servants. Oh, we can't do that. We can't do that. And the list goes on and on. And what is Jesus trying to teach us? What is Jesus trying to teach his disciples? Is, I am sufficient for you. So even though Jesus is sending them out with nothing, he's really sending them out with everything. If you have Jesus with you, he is more than enough. Amen? So Jesus is more than enough. So let me ask you this morning, is he more than enough? Are you holding on to something? And if so, what is that? How are you limiting God? A lot of times we limit God with what we have. That's it. Jesus, I only have this, and that's all I can give you. No. Jesus should be more than enough. Another way to state this is, are you operating out of control or are you operating out of dependence? Are you depending on God or are you operating out of what you have? Do you need to be in control of things? Because by going out with nothing, by taking nothing on your journey, you're basically saying, Jesus, I trust in you. I don't trust in what I have, I trust in you. So my focus is no longer what's in my bag, my focus is who has sent me and where am I going. Just because Jesus sent you doesn't mean you're going to be successful unless you focus on the things that he is asking you to do. For the disciples, it was what? Proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Right? When it came to those two things, they were able to do everything. He also continues, whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Now, it was their custom and tradition to host strangers. So it wasn't a strange thing for somebody to invite a stranger into their home. And you could typically stay there for up to 3 days. If you stayed longer than 3 days, then you're no longer a guest. But anyone who stays in a home, you could stay up to 3 days. So that was a custom. And Jesus continues, if people do not welcome you, which can happen, then he said to leave their town and shake dust off your feet as a testimony against them. What is that shaking dust off business? Well, it was a tradition, it was a teaching back then, a rabbinic teaching, that when Jews entered into Gentile territories, before they crossed back over, when they leave the Gentile territory, they would shake the dust off. And it's a symbolic gesture of what? I don't want to bring anything from the Gentile territory back in. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying is, if they don't welcome you, and that's a key phrase, welcome. If they don't welcome you, then treat them as a Gentile. That means they don't belong to the kingdom. They are not part of God's people. They're rejecting the good news. So treat them that way. So that's how this section starts. And then because they're going from village to village, news spreads. So people are talking about not just Jesus, but look at what the disciples of Jesus, what they're doing. So now people are curious about who is this Jesus, including Herod the Tetrarch. Tetrarch just means small king. So Herod the Tetrarch, he heard about what's all going on. Because of course, if people are being healed, and it's all of Jesus' people, they're going to hear about this, they're going to want to know more about this. So who is this Jesus? People want to know. And what were the people saying? People were saying three things. Some say that he's John the Baptist, raised from the dead. When did John the Baptist die? Well, Luke doesn't talk about it, but Herod the Tetrarch orders the execution of John the Baptist. So he gets beheaded. So imagine being Herod. You're hearing that John is back from the dead. Wouldn't he be afraid? So he's definitely curious. He got his attention. But others are saying he's Elijah. Malachi 4 says Elijah will come back. So this seems like he's like an Elijah who came back because he's doing all these great things. Others are saying he's one of the prophets of long ago. What does that mean? Well, Moses in Deuteronomy 18 said, after me, there's another prophet who's going to come among the Israelites. He says that. So it could be any one of these things. And so Herod says, well, I definitely beheaded John, so it can't be him. So who then is this that I hear such great things about? And he tried to see him. Notice that. He tried to see him. So when you experience Jesus, or when you talk about Jesus, people are going to be curious. But curiosity is not enough. You need conviction. Notice here, Herod was curious about Jesus. Many times in church, people will experience the love of God. They'll experience something in their soul. They'll be stirred up, and they'll be curious about Jesus. And that's where they stop. But being curious is not enough. That's not going to save you. You need the conviction of who Jesus is. And that's my biggest prayer, because I know we have people in the church get all stirred up. They know about Jesus. But knowing about Jesus is not enough. Oh, I felt this thing. I did all these great things. Yeah, that's good. But do you know Jesus? Or do you just know about him? Stay tuned, because this is going to continue to develop. So Luke just throws this in there, and then he continues. And what does he say? So the apostles return. Notice Luke is calling them the apostles here. So he interchanges the 12, the apostles, the disciples. They go back and forth. Apostles just means sent one, but here he's referring to the 12. So they all returned. I imagine this could be days, weeks, months, who knows how long it took. They went from village to village. And they reported back to Jesus what they had done. I imagine they were so excited. Jesus, Jesus, I healed this person. Jesus, I did this, I did that. Look at all the great things. And so I'm sure they were reporting back to Jesus what had happened with a big smile on their face. Because if you ever get to do work for God and you see God at work, that lifts your soul. And then you start to give more and more. You get really excited. And then when you do that, what happens? You get high spiritually, but physically you're drained. Right? And you need a rest. So maybe that's why they needed to rest. Who knows? But it says here, then he took them with him and they withdrew, right? That idea of withdrawing means we're going to go on a retreat. You need to rest up. So Jesus is recognizing this, and he's saying, okay, let's go. So they go to a town called Bethsaida. It says here, but the crowds learned about it and followed him. This is a nightmare for those who are in ministry. You gave and gave and gave until you had nothing left, and then you gave some more, and then now you're ready to go rest. And then you get a phone call on the way home, or you get an email, or you get a text message, or somebody just stops you in the middle of the road, Pastor! You know, this is where I wish I was more like Jesus, because this is what Jesus does, unlike me. If I failed you in the past, I apologize. But Jesus, it says here, look what Jesus does. He welcomed them. He's not saying, stop, I just worked overtime, and the Bible says I need to rest. So I'm going to go rest, and I'll come back, and I'll talk to you. You know, Jesus doesn't do that. He welcomes them. He receives them. Not only does he receive them, what does he do? He speaks to them. He teaches them, what? About the kingdom of God. You see the love and the care God has for his people? Even though he's tired, his disciples are tired, and they're on their way to rest, he welcomes the crowd. He teaches the crowd and talks to them about the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's really what's important. How are you going to spend eternity? That's what's important. But not only that, not only meeting their spiritual needs, he meets their physical needs as well, and he healed those who needed healing. So despite needing rest, he welcomes them, he speaks to them and teaches them, and he heals them. That's a reminder for all of us. Do you need healing? Do you need spiritual healing? Do you need to hear from God? Go to him. I know I've heard some people say, well, God is too busy for me. That is not true. That's a lie of the enemy. He will welcome you. He will receive you. All you need to do is go to him. Now, imagine being the disciples now. Right? You're back from a missionary trip, and all you want to do is rest, and people want to take you out to dinner and lunch. Is that what's happening? No? No, it's not happening. Not yet. I just want to rest. And they just. So it's late in the afternoon, meaning it's about sunset. Okay. So Jesus is still doing ministry. It's sunset. This is the opportunity for the 12 to say, Jesus, it's time to close up shop and let's go rest. So they go to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, it's time to send the crowd away. But, you know, you don't want to make it about you. So they need to eat. They're tired. We need to send them away because, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing here. You know, if we had something, maybe we could take care of them, but we got nothing. So Jesus, send them home. Tell them to go home, eat, and then maybe come back later. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. I love that response. Why? Because when the disciples went to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, they need to go home, they need to eat, they are talking through their, what they know and what they have. Once again, they went back to their backpack, and they had forgotten who Jesus is. They forgot that Jesus calmed the storm. They forgot Jesus raised people from the dead. They forgot Jesus healed. They forgot all the things Jesus had done. And once again, they're just looking at what they have and say, well, we don't have enough here, so Jesus, we're asking you to send the people away. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. Did you forget that my power and authority is enough to do God's work? Did you already forget this? But instead of Jesus being impatient with the disciples, look what he does. He takes The 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, that's all that they had. And if you read through, I think in Mark's account of this, feeding of the 5,000, it actually says it takes about a half year's of wages if you wanted to buy food for all of them. Luke doesn't mention that here, but they say, this is what we got unless we go buy food. And in a parenthetical statement, Luke says about 5,000 men were there. Another way of saying that, about 5,000 families were there. Another way of saying that is about 20,000 people were there altogether. 20,000. I can't even imagine. How did Jesus do this without a microphone, without a PA system? He spoke to 20,000 people. I don't know how he did it. Well, he's God, so I guess that works. So he tells his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. I like that detail, about 50 each. How long would that have taken without a PA system to tell 20,000 people you need to group in groups of 50 and sit down? I don't know. I imagine it took at least an hour or longer. I don't know how long it takes to herd 20,000 people and get them to do stuff, but the disciples did so. That to me is what's amazing here. They didn't say, and Peter stood up and said, what? They just did it. It says the disciples did so. Sometimes God will ask us to do something that's totally not logical. And when he asks us to do the illogical things, he doesn't tell us why. God often does not make sense. There's actually a book titled that, When God Doesn't Make Sense. If I had to write a follow-up to that book, is When God Doesn't Make Sense, which is all the time. At least in my life, I don't think God ever made sense. God never makes sense. Why would he save somebody like me? I don't know. But God doesn't make sense, and he doesn't have to tell us why. You know, there's another, you know, in leadership when you go, start with why. God never starts with why. So sometimes obedience needs to precede understanding. We need to obey. And that's what they do. It's remarkable how simple faith is. We complicate faith. But if God says do something, you do it. So the disciples did so, and everyone sat down. And now look at what happens. He says he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He took whatever they had. Because God is not limited by what we have. He took what we had, and then he multiplies it. Look what he does. He looks up to heaven. He takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looks up to heaven. Why would Jesus look up to heaven? Because he knows where everything comes from. He knows that God is the one providing. So looking up is letting the whole world know this is where everything's coming from. Do you live your life that way? Do you look up to heaven? Jesus looks up to heaven. And after that, he gives thanks. He blesses. And after he gives thanks, he breaks them. And then it says here, he gave it to the disciples to distribute to the people. And what was the result of that? They all ate. All of them ate, and all of them were satisfied. They were satisfied. They had enough to eat. Not only did they have enough to eat, it says here, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So God takes what we have. He multiplies it for him. Why? Because his power and authority is enough. Jesus is once again teaching the disciples. It's not about what you have. Don't let that limit in doing missions. Don't let that limit in doing God's work. Stop counting what you have. But remember who sent you. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. And so he'll take what we have. He'll bless it. He'll break it, and he'll give it. I just love this story. This story, by the way, is in all four Gospels, which means that this is a very important event that took place in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then the scene changes. So after this, it says here, Jesus was praying in private with his disciples. So he finally was able to spend time with the disciples alone. And he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? So the crowds are the same crowds who told Herod, well, some say John, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. Same answer here. Even the disciples know this. These are people who experienced Jesus Christ, like I said earlier. They experienced his miracles. They still don't understand who Jesus is. Oh, he could be John. He could be Elijah. He could be one of the prophets. But what's more important than being curious about Jesus, I said earlier, is you need to be convicted. Conviction. Who is Jesus in your heart? Who is Jesus? So that's what Jesus is after. Okay, so that's what the crowd is saying. Jesus asks, but what about you, my disciples? What about you, the 12? Who do you say I am? Peter, he's always the spokesperson for the disciples. He blurts out, God's Messiah, God's Christ. And if I was writing about Jesus and the disciples, this is where I would just end, and then I'll move on to the next scene. But Luke doesn't do that. Why? Because confessing who Jesus is not enough. Confessing that he is a Christ is not enough. What needs to follow his identity is his mission. So Luke continues. After warning the disciples to not say anything, which means that he is God's Christ. So that's true. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. But you have to. When you confess who Jesus is, the cross of Jesus Christ has to be part of what you confess. So notice what Jesus says here. The Son of Man must, not the Son of Man will, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. So the Son of Man must suffer, the Son of Man must be rejected, and he must be killed. On the third day, be raised to life. So he must be killed, and on the third day, be raised to life. True faith confesses Jesus as Christ, but also the cross of Calvary. True faith confesses his identity, but also his mission. So church, let's remember, Jesus is, of course, he's the Christ, but he's also the rejected one. He's also the crucified Savior, and he also is the risen Lord. So what can we learn from today's text? Three simple applications. The first one is we need to trust Jesus. We need to trust him even when we don't have enough. Do you trust him? When Jesus says, take nothing. Do you trust him when Jesus says, I want you to go here? Do you trust him when Jesus says, I want you to stay right where you are, in the middle of the mess, in the middle of the storm? Your life may be falling apart, but I want you to be right there. Why? Because his power and his authority is enough. Jesus is enough. And for us to really get that, we have to trust him in all circumstances. I think this is a harder one sometimes for us, is we have to give him what we're holding on to. That's my savings, Jesus. All I have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't want to share it all. What am I going to eat tomorrow? Are you holding on to a plan B that's not what God wants you to do? Because God is asking, God is telling, you don't need a plan B. You just need my plan. What are you holding on to? And by holding on to things, we limit God to what we're holding on to. Whether that's money, status. That happens in the church too, by the way. It's not just what happens at home or at work, but it happens in the church as well. I don't know how many times in church I've heard, can't do that, we don't have this. Can't do that, we don't have that. Especially money. I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing that. Can't do this because you don't have enough money. We don't have enough money, but we have God. So if God is asking us to do it, then it will happen. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And it really, you really need to start with this to really know who Jesus is, not know about Jesus, not having this emotional experience with Jesus. That's not what it means to know Jesus. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that he came down here on earth? He lived the life that you and I couldn't live, that he died the death that you and I deserve. He faced the wrath that you and I deserve. He was separated from God the Father so that you and I could be restored. Now, do you know him? And do you confess him? Not just Jesus is Lord, but Jesus, he's the crucified Savior. And because Jesus gave himself, in the story of feeding of the 5,000, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. But when Jesus died on the cross, he gave himself so that we could trust him when we lack. The one with all authority, Lord of all, is the one who gave you his body. You know, in the feeding of the 5,000, we saw that Jesus, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Which is kind of pointing to what's going to happen later on in the upper room, you know, where he gives his body for our salvation. Which is a perfect lead-in to communion, isn't it? Where Jesus takes bread, and he blesses it, he breaks it, and then he says, do this in remembrance of me. So let's come to the table, church. And by doing this, by partaking in communion, all who believe in Jesus Christ, what we're doing is we're proclaiming Jesus' saving death on the cross until he returns. So let me pray for the elements, and then I'm going to ask the men to come forward and distribute the bread. We'll wait till everyone has received it. We'll partake together, and then we'll distribute the cup as well. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you. Though you had everything, though you were rich, you became poor. You gave yourself so that we could have eternal life. So we thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you set apart the bread and the cup this morning for a holy purpose. May the bread be to our faith your body broken. May the cup be to our faith your blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. Help us to do this in remembrance of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me ask the men to come forward.